Christmas,
Christ Mass,
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's in His name, one and only name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Good to see you. We're privileged to bring you this word. And like I've said many times, there's nothing I'd rather be doing right this hour, or this day of every week. Woo, glory. So let me bring you today's Bible lesson on divine prosperity.
Amen.
The title is, How Much Can You Carry? Mm-hmm. My, my, my. How much can you carry? I'd like to remind you of something that I'm sure you're aware of. It happened in the cartoon and so forth. But we're defining what prosperity is. We'll talk about it, and you can't say everything every time. Amen? But you're not prosperous because you have a lot of money. Not divinely prosperous. It takes more than that. Divine prosperity is a whole prosperity. W-H-O-L-E. No matter how famous you are, how much money you got, like happened this past week, someone, this really talented, famous fellow, his son killed him. Imagine that. Killed him, and I don't know if it's his stepmother or real mom, I'm not sure of that, but just killed him. I mean, and to talk about demons, who would do that? Except that a demon took a hold of him. But you won't hear any mention of demons in the media. Probably because they don't know about it. They just think it's just a sad story. It's too bad. Oh, I know what they call it. Mental illness. Well, it is, but it's beyond mental illness. It's demonic possession, influence, one of those. Just up and kill your father. And your mother. And not too long ago, well, a decade or so ago, two brothers killed their parents. I mean, they were abusing them, so you might say, well, you know, that might be, you know, maybe that was judgment or something. But in this case, it doesn't look like it was. That's not godly prosperity. As sad as that is, it reminds us of what we've been talking about. Both in terms of whole person prosperity and in terms of the work of demons. Nobody does that unless they've been terribly influenced, taken over. So divine prosperity is holistic, which means that your spirit, in your spirit, you're born again. Your mind is being renewed. Being renewed.
Amen.
You're learning to think more and more and more and more like this book, and less and less and less like you or your culture or anything else. More and more and more of this book. And this is an ongoing process. You never stop having your mind being renewed. It'll never stop. Because you can always think more like Jesus every day. W-W-J-D. Amen. That's prosperity in your soul. In your body, that means divine health. It doesn't mean getting sick, getting healed. It means divine health where you don't even get sick at all. That's God's best. And we have settled for less than God's best. But that's prosperity. Prosperity in your body, divine health. Prosperity in your family. No strife. Nobody's striving with anybody. Peace and harmony within the family. Thanksgiving is wonderful. Nobody cussing at anybody. Nobody talking about, here comes him. You know what? I better get away from here. None of that.
Amen.
Divine family relationship. Nobody's staying away because I like to go to Big Mama's, but you know, so-and-so is going to be there. And so-and-so is cousin. Don't want to see your cousin or your whatever. That's not prosperity. And then, of course, there's prosperity where you have money and running over. Not barely able to make it. The Lord delivered Israel from the place of not enough in Egypt as slaves to the desert where they were barely making it to the promised land that was flowing with milk and honey. That's his best. My cup running over is not a one-time occasion. It's a continual running over.
Yes.
Where your money makes rounds around the end of the month. Did you get that?
Yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Well, you're not waiting for the paycheck. You're like, oh, the month ended already? Whoo, glory. That's prosperity. And then there's an area of prosperity called your calling. What you're called to do in life. If you can't wait to retire, you're not in your calling. Amen. So maybe you should hurry up and retire as much as you can and then get into your calling.
Amen.
My goodness. So prosperity is whole prosperity. Not just a part of it, and we can absolutely talk bits and pieces of it, but we'll talk a lot about the money part because that's the one part that everybody, as I said, everybody. You know, when was the last time you went to the hospital? Maybe you haven't. You haven't been sick, but you could use a little more money. All right, look at Genesis chapter 44. Let's talk about how much can you carry? My. Genesis 44 verse 1. And Joseph commanded the steward of his house. Do you have a steward of your house? That's a part of prosperity, you know. Ooh, I don't have one yet, but I'm planning on it. Saying, feel, feel. You get to where you read every word and you see God's heart in it. Fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry. I read that and it exploded my spirit. How much can you carry? It's like that thing. What do you want, baby? I got it. That's God, really. That came from God. What do you want? I got it. And then some. How much can you carry? How much finances can you carry? How much healing can you carry? Can you carry divine health? Or are you satisfied with getting sick, getting healed? As long as you keep getting sick, healed, you're okay. No, I don't even want to get sick. Because I'm fully persuaded that Jesus died for all of that.
Amen.
Was Jesus ever sick, you think? Did he ever have a cold, you think? Did he ever sneeze? I said, bless you. Did he ever? No. That's available to all of us.
Amen.
He paid for that. But not as long as we're content with, you know, I long will get healed. How much can you carry? How much health can you carry? Thank you, Lord. How much healing can you carry? How much divine health can you carry? You know we are pretty gung-ho about more and more teaching about debt, right? Financial debt. We're not talking that much about healing debt. You say, now, what is that? What are you talking about? Well, Jesus died on the cross and paid for both our financial wherewithal and our healing, did he not?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, he did. Huh? So if we follow him closely enough, we would never have to borrow. He just, you know, borrow is not wrong. There's nothing against borrowing the scriptures. But there's a better place than that.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, if we followed him long enough, we would never have to go see a doctor. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about have to go, not, you know, go because he's the good thing to do, you know. I mean, you don't have to shout.
Yeah.
Well, Every day, unless you're married to someone called. Oh, I haven't sweat, I haven't done anything. Okay, I better get off that. Who that you don't go because it's, you know, it's wise to do. Not that you have to go. But we don't talk much about that. That healing debt. Huh? Amen. That is healing debt. Everybody is satisfied with that. We're like, oh, you know, you get to go see a doctor. But it's over here in the money part. No, cut out your credit cards and, you know, drive that 1935 Chevrolet around all day, every day. As long as you don't borrow, don't pay interest. What's so evil about interest? Lord, you're going to get me in trouble here. Oh, Jesus. That's not my subject. Do you like? No, I don't. But the way some Christians think about it. Okay, I can't get into that details. Maybe someday. But think about this now. If you didn't have banks, where would you keep your money? How would you do financial transactions? If banks didn't charge interest, how would they operate? How would they exist? The Bible talks about too much interest. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Usury. Amen. But we get so caught up with this and we act like, you know, it's Lord Jesus. My point is, when it comes to the area of healing, we are completely comfortable, huh? We're going to see the doctor and doing exactly what the doctor says. We don't realize that healing debt, just like you do exactly, go see the banker and do exactly what the banker said, but you know, we've got to, but over here in the area of healing, we act like it's just normal. It's not. God's will is divine health.
Amen.
Divine health.
Amen.
Divine health. How much can you carry? What does it mean to carry? Go back here now. Go back at Genesis 44. It said, verse 1, he commanded the steward, saying, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry. So that had to do with how much the sacks could contain, right? Because if sacks are only contain 5 gallons, whatever it is, you can't put more than 5 gallons in it. So how many gallons can your sack carry? Glory to God.
Amen.
Because if your sack can carry 50 gallons, Joseph said, fill it up. Here's what it means to carry. The size of your bag is equal to the size of your faith. Oh yeah. Jesus said, O ye of little faith. Didn't he? He also said, wow, I haven't seen this much faith in all of Israel. He said that too, didn't he? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. One part of carry is the size of your bag, which is equal to the size of your faith. And then the other part of carry is how many pounds can you lift? You know how people go to the gym and they can lift, benchmark, whatever it is. How much can you lift in the physical? In the spiritual component is the extent to which you will stay on the straight and narrow, however loaded you are. Some folks can't stay on the straight and narrow. They get loaded enough. They buy them a boat. Sunday morning, it's 75 degrees. They're going to go to the lake. Not going to church. Let's go to the lake and enjoy the boat. This weather hasn't been this good in a long time. God understands. Yeah, he understands that you're being disobedient. This is what he understands. So see, folks like that can't carry a whole lot because it'll mess them up. Amen?
Amen.
How much can you carry? Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm going to buy the power here. I'm just going to call. I'm messing your setup up here. But you'd have to edit that or something. Thank you, Jesus. You all hold on. Let me do this, okay? It depends on technology and how much can you carry? Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 to 29. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it done unto you.
Yes.
According to your faith, be it done unto you. How much can you carry? Mark chapter 4, Jesus said, well, let's look at that one. Oh my. Mark chapter 4. And it sounds like he's saying what he's not saying. If you have ears to hear, well, everybody has ears, but everybody doesn't hear. Mark 4, look at verse 23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. How much can you carry of what's being spoken? In other words, how much are you receiving with intent to live by God's word that you're hearing? How much can you carry? If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. All the folks who was talking to have ears, huh? Question is, do you have ears to hear or ears to for something to come in one ear and go the other? And then he said, take heed what you hear, how you hear. He says, with what measure you meet. Still talking about hearing. What measure of attention you give to what's been said, to God's word, is the extent to which it'll work for you. How much can you carry of God's word? He says, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. That's how much you're going to get back. And unto you that hear shall more be given. Huh? Because you can carry more. Some folks, it comes in here, goes out the other. No time spent meditating at all, considering, checking it out at all, which is why we call ourselves Berea. The Bereans checked it out and then believed it and then lived by it. And consequently, they lived in Goshen every day. A land of exemption from the curse. Man! No flies over there. No bugs. No frogs. No darkness. How much can you carry? Now, here is to the extent that believers have paid any attention at all to the gospel to the poor. That's what we're talking about. The gospel to the poor. That's the gospel of prosperity. Did you know there's the gospel to the sick, the gospel to the unsaved, the gospel to the poor? Here's what the church has concentrated on, Philippians 4:19. You know what that said to you, now? My God shall supply all my need. And that's really baby kindergarten. Oh, how should I put it? Folks without a covenant talk about need. We get so need focused, we'll forget. Here's what we should be as believers. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You might know where I'm headed, but you haven't read it in a few days. So it's good to put your eyes on it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 9. Here's where we should be. Not Philippians 4:19. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, dear not everyone, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich.
Amen.
That's where Christians should dwell. Not over there in Philippians 4:19. That's kindergarten. Flip the next chapter. Look at verse number 8. So remember this now, 2 Corinthians 8:9 or 9:8. Both loaded. Double barrel loaded. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace. How much is that? Can you carry that? All grace? Abound towards you. Abound? Not trickle towards you. Abound? That you always have it. My goodness. I hope I'm happy. I'm teaching me happy. Always have it? That's what I was talking about earlier when I mentioned, you know, end of the month comes and you don't really know yet because you're still living on the money that came in 3 years ago. Woo, glory. See, you have to be able to see it, to get to it, to live it. If you can't see it, it costs nothing to see it. But you got to see it to live in it. Always, all grace abound towards you. And you always have all sufficiency. You know, I mean, I was talking about something the pastor I forgot about. And I had given him $20. I'm like, really? That must have been a huge sacrifice. Because back then, I don't. But oh, I'm so glad them days are gone forever. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. That all you always have it. All sufficiency in all things. All things. That you may abound to every good work. Every? Can you carry that? Can you carry that? If you can, God's already provided for you to have it. He has. That's where we should live. We live. And to put it, you know the 23rd, in the interest of time, Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Huh? That's New Testament covenant living. Expectation. Not need, want. Or the gospel, according to Pastor Sheena, says, if it's not ungodly, if it's not illegal, not unethical, you want it, God has already provided for you to have it. Hallelujah. That's the same thing as saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Not need, want. Question is, can you carry it? That's the key. That's the only issue. Can you carry it? Will you believe it? Will you expect it? It's already been done. It's not going to get done. Huh? It's not going to get done. It's already been done. The child was born on Christmas, but it's been 2,000 some odd Christmases ago. You know that, do you not? That child grew up, taught us about God, and died to guarantee what I'm talking to you about today. Now, gonna happen. It's already happened. 2 Peter tells us that. He's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place. The question is, can you carry it? Is your faith bag big enough, large enough? And will you stay on a certain narrow? Wow. All right. Let's do this and then I will switch gears. Look at Mark chapter 5. Maybe I should just tell you. Mark chapter 5, verse 22 to 42. This is Jairus. You remember Jairus, right? Came to Jesus. Wanted Jesus to come and pray for his daughter. Because she was at the point of death. And in the midst of Jesus going, the woman with the issue of blood shows up. Remember that? Jairus' bag was big enough where that if Jesus would come to his house, huh, and lay hands on his daughter, she would recover. Okay? Look at Mark chapter 5. Let's go over there. In the midst of that, we'll talk about how much can you carry. That's how much he could carry. Jesus, come to my house, lay hands on my daughter. I know she'll be healed. That's how big, how large his sack was. According to your faith, be it done unto you. Mark chapter 5, look at verse number, where do we start here? Look at verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, talking about Jesus, besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death, I pray thee, come, lay hands on her, and she will be healed. That was the side of his bag. Oh, Jesus, are you ready for this? My goodness. And then the woman with the issue of blood came along. Huh? She didn't even want Jesus to know she was there. Are you getting this? Amen. That was the size of her bag. Amen. She didn't want anybody to know. She said, if I can just touch his clothes, that's it. I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to see him. I don't want him to come to my house. Glory. How much can you carry? Jairus? No. You have to come to my house, Jesus. And lay hands on my daughter. I believe then that everything will be fine. The woman? I just got to touch your clothes, Jesus. That's it. Amen. My goodness. Don't want to get your autograph. Don't want to talk to you, Jesus. Don't really want to know you. Don't even want you to know who I am. Maybe it's because Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue. He thought, you know, Jesus could try to come to his house. Maybe that's what he was. All right. Hey, I'm an important person. I'm the ruler of the synagogue. So whose sack was bigger? Woo! Who could carry more? Physically, she was worn out, but faith-wise, man,
Amen.
She had huge faith. Huh? Don't have to come to my house. Just let me go close enough to touch you. That's it. And she did. And she was about to leave until Jesus stopped her. Said, somebody touch me. Well, she would never have told herself, but she was just gone back to where she was. How much can you carry? Look at Matthew chapter 8. My goodness. I tell you folks, we are living way beneath our place in Jesus as covenant men and women. Matthew chapter 8. Look at verse number 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, that was Jesus' headquarters, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and said, Lord, my servant, Jairus came on behalf of his daughter, he comes on behalf of his servant, lied at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said, I will come with you. Jairus asked Jesus to come with him. Jesus volunteered to go with the centurion. And you know what he said, do you not? Huh? He said, no, not necessary. Not necessary. Man, not necessary. You don't have to come to my house. I know how this works. You read the rest of this. I have folks under me. I say something and they do it. And I recognize you have that authority. You don't have to come to my house. Just say the word only. And my servant shall be healed. How big was his sack of faith? Hallelujah. He could carry a lot, could he not?
Yes.
No wonder Jesus marveled and said, whoa, folks, I have never seen this much faith. Not in all Israel. Notice that Jairus got her daughter because eventually Jesus went. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood also got what she wanted, and so did the centurion. But whose sack was bigger? I want the centurion's sack. What about you?
Amen.
My. I want the woman with issue of blood sack. Jairus thought it was necessary for Jesus to come to his house. The centurion didn't think it was necessary. In fact, he declined Jesus' willingness to go to his house. Jesus said, yeah, I'll come and heal him. Why did he say that? Because he assumed that's where his level of faith was. So she said, no, master, you don't have to do that. I know how this works. I have men under me. When I say something, they do it. When you say something, that sickness has got to go.
Amen.
I recognize that my authority over the men who work for me is like your authority over sickness and disease. How much can you carry? Now, here's my last word on this. Jairus said, Master, come to my house. That's not enough. Lay hand. Because remember now, the woman, she basically said, if I can just get close enough to him to touch your clothes. You remember the scriptures talk about Peter going down the street and his shadow. He didn't touch anybody. His shadow. In other words, they got close enough to him for that anointing shield to work. My goodness. So the woman said, if I just get close enough. Jairus said, come to my house and then lay hands on my daughter. I will believe then. The centurion didn't think it was necessary for Jesus to come to his house. He declined Jesus' willingness to do so. Now, here's what I want you to get. Here's something else I want you to get. Did you know that if Jesus has spoken his word to Jairus, did you know it wouldn't have worked? Jairus' daughter would not have been healed. She would not have been healed. Why? Because Jairus required Jesus to come to his house and to lay hands on his daughter. That's what he was willing to believe. That's his point of contact, like Oral Roberts used to say. He set his faith there. If Jesus comes to my house and he lays hands on my daughter, I know she'll be healed. So if Jesus had simply said, Jairus, go, your daughter is healed, she would not have been healed because Jairus would not have believed it. He wouldn't have believed it. And it wouldn't be anything Jesus did or said wrong would be Jairus. He had already set his faith where he would release it. If I can get him to come to my house and lay hands on my daughter, which means if he won't come, then I guess she's gonna die. The centurion said, don't come, just speak. That's where I'm gonna set my faith to. Are you getting this?
Yes.
How much can you carry? God has already set it up. He'll meet you exactly where you are. How much can you carry? Amen. I tell you, okay, there's nothing else God has to do. Jesus, that baby, like I said, that was born, you know, he already grew up, already went to the cross, already shed his blood, already been buried, resurrected, ascended, seated on the right hand side, majesty on high. It's all done. Question is, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to carry it all the way or just halfway? Where's your point where you're going to release your faith? Is God's word good enough for you? Amen?
Amen.
I'll tell you what. Thank you, Lord. If you didn't get it, I did. This is how I get it every Sunday. This is why I come to church. Amen?
Amen.
So, we'll receive our offerings. End of service. And let's switch gears now. And talk about it.